just what come with it.
Keith Lee is like kind of a, like a smaller scale Mr. Beast for food, for the food industry.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome back to the Awkward Thinking Podcast. I'm your boy Nas, aka Steve.
What up? I'm Vince.
And we are the friends you never knew you needed. All that in a bag of chips. Regular guys with awkward lives. Awkward thinkers. Woo! White people claps in the building. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Once again, like every single episode, I want to be on a yacht, snorting cocaine on the coast with women, all white women with a bikini thongs. Anything you would like to add to them?
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Share. Make sure you're sharing what we are posting. If you on TikTok, if you on Instagram, make sure you're getting our content out there, please.
Yep. And once again, for another week. And, you know, guys, I know it's tough for us every single week having to report.
Getting harder to talk about, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, so.
Yeah, I'm starting to get choked up because it's not like us to not have Reese on the show. And I know a lot of y'all probably been begging, like, where's Reese at?
We see the free Reese comments. We see them.
Yeah, we do see the free Reese comments. And it's like, it doesn't reduce her time. You know, I don't even think she's trying at this point to reduce.
She's not, because it's like she keeps getting into more fucking trouble. Charisse, control yourself, please.
Like, literally, like, that's all you have to do is just get yourself together. And now I'm hearing she's selling drugs into the.
Again?
Yeah, it's to the inmates. It is sick.
And you know how it works. It's the CEO she's going
through. Yeah, exactly. And she might be pregnant by one of the CEOs. Life is not going. I don't know how.
Have a prison abortion.
Me either, because then it's wild.
That's some shit she'd do though.
Yeah,
like, I don't put it past her.
Well, when I called her, when I talked to her,
they let her out the hole.
Yeah, they let her out the hole for a couple of weeks. I think she's back in though. When I talked to her, she was she's saying they did arts and crafts in there, like for their little program.
And you know, she's a graphic.
She's a graphic, you know? So she was really excited right there. But it was like they were making like makeshift dildos, like jail dildos, out of like socks and like a
gloves and shit.
Yeah, gloves, but they were used in the janitorial. It was a lot. It was just,
who's
yeah.
Who's in charge of that program?
I'm not sure who's really in charge of it, but I think kudos to the whoever's funding it. Our tax dollars are going to the right places. Yeah, shout out to women. It's not your month, but you know, we love y'all. 365. Yeah. Let's get a little bit into our lives. How you been, man?
I've been decent. Life's been going well. I ain't got no complaints right now.
Ooh, life's going well. We love a life that's going well. Shit. I like this little life.
Shut the fuck up. I finally found out where that was from.
Too. Really?
Yeah. That song.
Where is it from?
The way you be singing that song is not the way it's that song.
What is it?
The song is just, you don't sing it the way that it's sung there.
Is it ass? Like, is the whole song ass?
You sang it, I feel like, with more enthusiasm than what the song is actually asking for.
Oh, it's somber.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about suicide.
I don't know. I just heard it, and I'm like, this isn't the tone that he sings the song in.
It's a man? I thought it was a woman.
I'm talking about you.
Oh. Well, go ahead. You like, yes. Your life is life good in a life
way. Yeah,
life
is good. And so, like, the other day I was sitting down, I'm chilling. And I'm doing my arts and craft. I've been getting back into that a whole lot. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like trying to get some shit from across the room, like my keys or something.
Yeah.
But me in the chair, I'm like, I'm not trying to move right now.
Yeah.
And so I go, I get a broom. I connect the broom to a motherfucking another piece of something. And I put it up under like a plastic bag. Mm. Like I formulate it in a way that like I don't.
That it works. Yes. It works for you.
I think it's my duffel bag. So I latch it on to the duffel bag, and I'm able to drag it over the room. It takes me like 5 whole fucking minutes. And I'm like this at the end of the day.
So
I'm going to reach and grab this.
My thing is to you, wouldn't it have been less time for you to get up and just grab it?
It would have, but sometimes I'll be trying to see how lazy I can be.
Okay.
And I feel like, I just how lazy can you take it? Like, what's the laziest shit you ever did?
The laziest shit I do a lot of lazy shit through my day to days. But I don't. This is really trifling. I don't even know if I should say this. I think it was like a dish, like a plate, and I didn't feel like cleaning it, and I just. I just scraped whatever was off and put something on there. That was late. I don't know if that's like deemed as lazy or just gross.
That's
I don't know.
Gross because you do have. He has his one pen in the house that he uses like every
religiously
day without washing. He just be like, I'm gonna use it tomorrow.
Cause it's the same food. I feel like it's been in there. I don't know. Fuck it.
Don't eat from that.
If people from crack can live long lives, I can live a long life.
We about to have a barbecue, and I want y'all to know. That. In charge of y'all food. But what about you? How you been living, bro?
I've been good. I've learned that a lot of life things that God has been putting in my life is just some inconvenience. I just, you know, I would just imagine like you taking a good ass shower, mm-hmm. like an amazing shower. And then next thing you know, within that shower, you have the urge to shit. And that might be the most toughest life decision I've ever tried to make.
That's an awkward situation.
It is.
Because you gotta shit.
But it's like when I'm in the bathroom, and I'd be like, damn, I just got clean. Yeah. Like, I just got clean, bro. And then it's like, I don't really like being on the toilet with a wet ass.
Because you can't. You got to literally dry off. But it's like, at the same time, you know how you can clench your shit?
Yeah.
Like, if you just, you dry. When you wet, you can't clench your shit the right way some reason. It's like, you be on the motherfucking, it's like, it's harder to use the, like, to prepare to use the bathroom than it is. When you like dry,
I feel more disgusting.
Yeah,
I feel more disgusting
when
I'm
naked and you wet.
Exactly. Versus when I'm dry and I'm naked and I can take a shit before
and
my shower.
You're slippery, like
yeah.
You're on the motherfucking toilet.
Trying to adjust. It's sick.
I'd be like, let me wipe my ass off and get everything off. You got to get the water off your back because you can wipe your ass off.
Yeah.
As soon as you sit down, that motherfucking water trails down and back to slip and slide.
I feel like shit is the more annoying than kids because it happens at the wrong time. Like, you know when a kid begs you, like, mm-hmm. oh, I want this? It's like, when you got a shit, it's always at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Like, you got 100 miles on a road trip. You got fucking, you in the middle of somewhere, there's no bathrooms. It just seems like there's no bathrooms in sight mm-hmm. as soon as you have the urge to shit.
Bro, I seen this lady pull up and let her kid shit outside of the car. Like, literally in the middle of the street one time, just pull up at the light.
And just
door minivan open.
Oh, it was a minivan.
Yes, she pulls the little girl out. She said, "Come on!" And we like, "Yo, what the fuck?" Because we in a tough neighborhood
yeah.
at that time. She's the little girl squat. She go,
ew.
You see the shit go down toward the minivan and shit. They, you know, get some wipes and just leave.
Dog. They did a shit drive by.
A shit drive by.
That's funny as fuck. I have a PSA for white people too. Just, you know, let me talk to the audience a little quick. Lately white people haven't been white people in. It's not been no good white people music, no white people's movies. Sometimes I think that we're getting along a little too well and we need a pinch of segregation just a little bit.
I do like segregation.
Yeah, just a little bit because y'all are, you know, trying to be a little too black. For us, and we need y'all to stay in y'all lane, you know what I mean? And the reason why I'm really saying this is because I was listening to some Eminem shit, and I was like, bro, Eminem don't make no fucking good music no more.
He don't.
And I miss when he was like, I hate my fucking mom, but I'm a single father.
Yeah.
Like,
white people hate their mom. They be turning that shit into art.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. We need more white people mad at their parents. Like, y'all niggas ain't. Y'all getting along, people fixing, healing their trauma. We need more I hate my
dysfunction.
Mom
Where
music, literally.
Eminem did used to make some good ass music. I mean, he just started, I don't know what this new album was, what it was he was looking for with that, but it wasn't it. I think we got to stay away from the black shit a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think his trolling, I think it's the drugs. I think we need. Just a pinch. Just if it's making you some good music, just a little bit. A little perk won't hurt. You know what I mean? Put that in the captions. A little perk won't hurt.
I didn't know what the fuck he was on when he made Stan.
I think he was on pills. He was on pills.
Yeah, that's the music we looking for from white people. That's the kind of white people. The Evervescence, the little emo song.
Yeah.
That's what we looking for from y'all. Motherfucking, can we get some...
I need some more Linkin Park-esque things. Some more Nickelback-esque things. I need more of that. Like, I need more of, like, I might run away.
Can we get some Chasing Cars? And can we get a second to that? A second addition to that?
That's what I'm saying.
A Maroon 5, but, like, today.
Yeah, today. We need. I think low-key, we need another boy band.
We do. I've been listening to One Direction because I do fuck with them. We need a black boy band, though.
Like,
we
Mindless need, Behavior?
No, not that was
like
that
like was, alternative like.
No, I just want that one song to be. I want it to be an R&B song.
What?
Story of My Life.
I don't know that one.
It's a good song, but I feel like if somebody was to R&B that shit, that'd take us somewhere in a different cultural aspect.
Because I'm looking at it because I'm like, it hasn't been no boy groups, you know, and I think necessarily we need boy groups.
We do.
And girl groups, too, because it gives the kids something for them.
Yeah, and it's range, too. I feel like these people a chance to, like, explore their range within their voices and shit. Yeah. You don't got to hear the same sound. You got a whole group, so then you got four motherfuckers who can bring four different kind of sounds to it, and you get to focus on that through a whole album instead of just the same shit.
I legit think Justin Bieber might have been the last airbender for white people's music. Because he was the last iconic, like, heartthrob. I know Harry Styles is right now, but he's a little too grown. He was like us.
He was still part of that boy band.
Yeah,
though.
But, like, we need, like, child
Justin
stars
Bieber
in that.
Was, yeah, he was the Justin Timberlake of his time. Yeah.
No, you got to say that for Harry Styles Harry Styles was in One Direction. And then he branched off, like, you know, Justin Timberlake was in sync, and then he was in Justin Timberlake. He was Justin Timberlake.
No, but Justin Timberlake has also gone to, like, the, you know.
I think Justin Timberlake, can we be, like, real for a second? Justin Timberlake did appropriate in the right way. Like.
Yes and no. I feel like he does have a black scent, like, a black sound and everything, and it wasn't like I'm trying to be this for the most part, but then when you look back at things, it is cringy.
Yeah, like, it's like, oh, but you make good music. You was around the right black people to not.
Him and Beyonce getting into that motherfucking studio and making it to the end of time. Whoever the fuck made that deal happen, thank you, because that was some shit. That was some shit that we needed as a culture.
That was, Swix. Go ahead.
You know that nigga.
In the case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what for.
Everybody keep going down.
It's for, like, sexual assault?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I think it was, like, something with his niece.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's like.
Come on, y'all. Come on. Like,
your family?
Y'all got money. Y'all, like, y'all doing the wrong shit. Y'all are talented, but y'all doing the wrong shit
this
with the talented.
I can't miss a show. he said, I got the tour coming up. I hope this doesn't interfere with the tour. The officer said, nigga, what? Fucking tour.
It's over with, nigga. Fuck. Speaking of, like, people on tour, shit like that. The BET Awards. A shit show. And not in a shit show as in, like, the performances weren't great. It was just a shit show of, I feel like, looking at the past BET Awards and their clips, it made sense for the demographic. Like, you had the Michael Jacksons and the Rick Jameses, the Tina Marie's, the Princes, you know what I mean? They're all there, you know? And when I'm looking at it, I'm like, all right, they met that demographic. That was that audience for now. I think they don't know how to translate to this audience because it's so, everybody's a fucking rapper, singer, and you can pop off at any moment, at any time. So it's like, who are the kids listening to? Like, I don't know if they're doing any case studies or anything for it, but I think that it's time to put some young folks in the mix of some shit.
I think the thing that we forgetting is that BET, or at least in the past, BET Awards have always appealed to all generations.
That's true.
So you can sit down with the whole family and watch the BET Awards where you have the young people, you got the little middle-aged people, then you got the old folks. You got Aretha Franklin coming out singing shit. You got Destiny's Child singing shit. Then you got Bow Wow and them up there doing shit. So you got somebody for every age. And it really, we don't have that no more because we don't have all the artists are targeted to the kids and to older people. We don't have a this is strictly. And I did see they did a kid segment, so I don't want us to put our foot in our mouth.
I ain't gonna lie.
But I ain't know who the fuck
didn't need
was.
That. I didn't need that. And even if I was a kid growing up, I still wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing. Like, I understand, like, when at the time, it was Nicki Minaj, it was Diddy, it was Rick Ross, and they was doing Hello, Good Morning. And that shit was so fucking epic because it was like, oh, my fucking goodness, this is the moment. You know what I mean? And then older people know Nicki Minaj. They like certain songs. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. I think that with social media and what we've done, I think we've killed our legends.
Speaking of killing legends, what I was going to say is another thing that has been BET and ass, ain't nobody died. BET.
Nobody died this year.
Yes, BET used to, I ain't going to say this, used to sacrifice people. I ain't going to be one of those people, but conveniently, somebody used to die right before the BET.
Like a legend.
A huge ass star. And then motherfuckers would have a whole BET little
tribute
already put in place. It, motherfucker died 3 days before that.
And they knew it was going to be literally a spot. Like, hey, if this motherfucker died, we, you know what I'm saying?
And so you got a motherfucker. Chris Brown came out that bitch like a day after.
That was one.
That wasn't a day after, but it was still.
That damn near was.
It was fast it as was, fuck, though, but. Every legend, and we don't have legends too many.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have too many legends left.
I think because we see our legends too much. And every legend that we had, like whether it was Mike, whether it was, you know, anybody, James Brown and whoever, it was a mystery because we didn't know much about them. We seen them on these award shows. Now we see them on live. We see them, Chris Brown in the club. I ain't know what James Brown and them was doing in the club. You know what I mean? Unless a magazine tabloid, but that could be rumors and lies. I mean, it's
a
shade room.
It is too personal, I think.
Yeah.
And then again, I think it's also just the fact that you don't have a generational gap. You don't have, like, where Beyonce has always been Beyonce for us from growing up.
Yeah.
And she's still in that spot. And right now, I would say she's our leading legend at this current time. Don't you fucking, not on Beyonce internet, not on Blue Ivy internet. Keep it together.
I'm trying to say it.
There is nobody who has influence Beyonce right now.
I'm not saying that she doesn't have influence, but this take might be like super crazy to me. I just feel like in some regard, It might be like, it might be a lot. I don't know what all goes on behind the scenes, and I don't want to assume. But in my irrational take, I'm going to make an irrational one and I'm gonna make a sensible take. I feel like Beyonce is kind of doing it a disservice a little bit. It's like when I used to look at the BET Awards, it was like Michael Jackson was the biggest fucking star, but he made appearances to that motherfucking award show. And I'm not and I'm saying that to say, like, watching the BET Awards as a kid and seeing whether it was Michael Jackson, whether it was James Brown, or whether it was a megastar at that time, to a child, that means I can do it. And I feel like Beyonce, it's not necessarily her job, but to show that presence to an all-black audience, and you know that it's catered for us by us, I don't see why you can't just show up one time now at your super height of stardom.
Okay, so I would say this. As a person, I have not watched BET Awards in recent years, but as a person who used to watch it, Beyonce used to show up.
Yeah,
and
she
so
did.
We don't know what, and BET has also changed. There's been a lot of changes going on behind the scenes at BET. And so we don't know what it is that could be interfering with that. Because when if you don't know what the fuck who running shit and you don't know why they running this shit, then you're going to, we can ask some questions, but she might have her own reasons. Like, maybe I'm not fucking with how things are getting ran, or maybe I didn't get, shit just isn't professional as you
used
want
to,
it to be. Yeah, because you do see it. I ain't gonna lie.
That shit
look tacky. Stop coming to the BET Awards looking like you just came to your cousin's baby shower. That shit look tacky.
Yeah, it do.
And so it's shit like that. You do got,
I mean, the old ones did. They did look, them outfits, but it was for the times.
Was cultural.
Yeah, it was for the times.
It was
I give you that.
Tacky. And so you got motherfuckers fighting in the BET Awards, hitting the niggas and throwing phones and shit. And
damn.
So,
oh yeah, yeah, JTN.
And so
yeah.
Shit like that, you got to take into consideration: is this even my crowd anymore? Mm. And again, when them motherfucking hands get to moving, it's like, don't BET has always, for the most part, I think, been owned by white people, but I think now it's
owned,
more.
Yeah, now it's owned.
It's
by
the
black
percentage
people.
Is a lot higher, and it's. Look at what BET ain't been putting shit on for black people. Like, it put black shit on or mm-hmm. black actors on, but the stories is like, where is the shit that it used to be? I feel like more shit on BET. There used to be a reason to turn on BET. You ain't just turn it on for the awards. You used to turn it on for the programming.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of great-ass programming.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, is not missing, but I just think that now it's becoming with, and we're not kind of, I'm not trying to go like super deep, mm-hmm. but with like artist development, it's really needed.
Yeah.
Because it's shown that, hey, like, y'all can't, like, the one nigga came up in fucking pajama pants. Even, I ain't gonna lie, even the Yin Yang twins as a kid, mm-hmm. nigga, they was presentable on that motherfucking BET stage. Whether it was just some jacket, something, yelling, mm-hmm. whatever. I knew they was ignorant, but these motherfuckers was gonna come in some presentable shit. But yeah, man, that's my take.
And then a lot of shit happened at the BET Awards. Well, not a lot of shit.
Before you get into that, I must say this. Mm-hmm. I do not respect y'all for not giving Sexy Red Artist of the fucking Year.
They gave it to the other girl.
They gave it to Tyla, and I was so pissed.
Who? I wouldn't have gave it to Shorty. I don't know Shorty at all. Sexy has been making noise, but that shit is ass. Her music is ass. I'm sorry. And she on her little white supremacist shit right now. Fuck Sexy.
So
unless you go throw us some money.
So yeah. So I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say Sexy Red, before all the Trump support, even though I made a take a while ago, y'all niggas, y'all late. But anyway, I feel like Sexy, out of all the artists, granted, she, you know, whatever, how you think of her music is a little bit more free and for a mm-hmm. demographic and serves a different demographic mm-hmm. of women, or feels like, you know, empowers a lot, and it gets the club shaking. But from going from Pound Town all the way to making WWE performances, like really making rollouts, that was like, I think, that she probably had the most artist development out of any artist mm-hmm. in 1 year.
What I will say is, I think she has done great for marketing this year. But when you look at quality, is the quality of music there? Can I call you an artist quality rise, or can I just call you somebody who's marketable?
I think. 'Cause
she got up there trying to sing.
Yeah, and it worked. It worked. Soulja Boy wasn't a singer. How many classics that we've gotten out of people that can't really sing? It was just like, now you sing it.
But
you sing it in your car.
I think, I'll admit, maybe I'm a little biased just because I don't fuck with the music.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's that where it's like, this isn't music that I find quality in. And so that could be it too.
And you know.
But I will say, Shorty, the Tyla girl.
Yeah.
I did see her performance, the jungle shit.
Yeah,
that was an ass performance. Yeah. And somebody else, like, they was like, oh, she did great, and it's great that a star actually came up and finally did what other performers used. That was not a good performance. Fucking sorry. Like, I ain't watched too much, but that was not a good performance. Motherfuckers used to put on the whole act. Again, you had Chris Brown fucking crying in the middle of a performance.
Yeah.
You don't get shit like that no more.
That was raw.
When you can show that shit again, then we could talk about great performances. Keith Lee and Taraji had a little interaction, or I feel like people made it into an interaction.
Every time I've seen the video, I did not want to watch it because I was cringing for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this. Like, it was just like, I know you're finna fuck up, but this is too embarrassing for me even to watch.
What exactly did she say?
So it was just, she made a mistake and she, you know, said that somebody was Keith Lee. And then she asked Keith Lee in front of his wife to like call her or some shit like mm-hmm. that. Like, you look good, call me. And it was just cringy because I know the embarrassment behind, I know people were going to attack her mm-hmm. for that certain thing. But now I think that people didn't attack Taraji necessarily. They attacked more so
Keith.
Yeah, Keith. And I think that, like, I don't know why people were waiting for mm-hmm. to hate Keith Lee.
They were.
People are waiting to hate for Kai Cenat because they're winning and they're doing so much good in a sense of how they approach things in a positive and a positive outlook. You know, the man, like, saying, I love my family, I love my wife, I love this.
Speaks very highly of her and speaks very highly of his family and speaks with a purpose and move with a purpose.
And literally. And it's like, how can you hate a man that's showing black love? Y'all are so, like, oh, we need to showcase black love. That man is literally showing it. I don't do anything unless I'm with my family. And you have not seen
him. I'm not charging small businesses to come out and see them. I'm not doing this. I'm literally doing everything off love. Yeah, I get money and interaction from it, but that's just what come with it.
Keith Lee is like kind of a, like a smaller scale Mr. Beast for food, for the food industry.
Oh shit, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you were good. But like I seen, there was a video of another influencer who like ran up into his face with a camera, like
Oh my god, you're DDG. Yeah,
calling him a whole different person and everything, and like Keith was like, hey, don't do that. Like, don't. And, like, his security, like, people in the comments tried to make it seem like Keith Lee was just out of control. He got too big-headed. Oh, this, I really see who he is. I knew this was who he was this whole time. This and that. And it's like, a motherfucker come up to you and put a camera in your face and just shove it in your face. Like, we seen too close. He was too close to Keith Lee at that time.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about who I am and what I do or whatever. Have some personal space, respect my boundaries. And he says that in all his videos. He says, like, hey, even when I'm interacting, I don't mind talking to nobody, but please just respect my space, respect my family, don't rush us, don't do certain things. Like, let us make sure that we're safe at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And somebody doing some shit like that and then responding in a human way, like, hey, can you back up, don't do that, is very normal. And again, y'all look for reasons to not like people. Y'all want a reason to not like Keith Lee. And like I told Nas, I think it's because y'all don't like to see black men happy for too long. Y'all don't like to see us, like, doing something that we like to do, enjoy to do, and then get paid to do and not fuck up. Y'all look for reasons for us to fuck up.
I think what I'm about to say is not nullifying your point to that. I feel like it's just more so I want Keith Lee's downfall to happen because I want my spot. I want his spot. And if I feel like, because we have this narrow outlook, black, white, Indian, anybody, I need this spot. And he feels as though he's filling up this majority instead of saying, all right, I can do something and be on the same amount of level. But no, I want to tear him down so then they can boost me up. I think it's that more so, too. I don't know if that's the same thing.
The thing is, a lot of them people in them comments aren't even people who are aspiring to do shit.
Yeah.
And so it's not, not to say that don't take effect for some people, but I think a lot of people, even if it's not just not liking to see black men happy, I think it's just, I don't like to see you progressing for too long. Not even just because you black, but just because you're another person who is doing probably better than me, or you're just happy, and I don't like to see that for too long.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. They deal with King Bach or whatever
King,
the fuck.
King Batch Bach.
Batch Bach or whatever. But, like, people, for no reason, brought up, like, him and was like, he's not funny. I don't know why people even, he has a following, this and that. And it's like, you don't feel like a hater?
I have my sentiments on King Batch. Now, personally, when I was growing up, Vine era, his joints weren't, like, it fit a certain demographic. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the demographic.
Right.
And that's what I think we just got to admit to it. It's not corny. It just doesn't face your demographic. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was eavesdropping while we was driving to the studio, even when y'all, you and Cheyenne's take on Donald Glover, when you were saying that, you know, more black people are more embracive of him now than when he was once on Community. Mm-hmm. And then white people loved him, you know, something like that. So I was just...
With that conversation, did you want to get into that?
Yeah, that's right.
Cheyenne was saying, like, she didn't like that he addressed and was, like, at the BET Awards, basically, black women didn't really love me. Like, I never really, black women wasn't seeking me or nothing. And when I approached him, I got, like, rejected.
Yeah.
And then he also brought up, like, in this space, I want us to realize there's more than just R&B and rap. There's a lot of black people who make a lot of different music. And that should be represented here at the BET Awards, not just this shit. If you're a black man like Donald Glover, just even like a lot of us who and we've said on here, we have a lot of shit going on. We go through a lot, and we walk around with a lot of pressure. And I wonder if I'm at an age where I feel like I'm going through a shift.
Yeah.
And it feels like I don't know. It feels like shit is moving, but it also feels like shit is paused at the same time. And I'm wondering, is this like what a midlife crisis is? Is this what it feels like?
I think a midlife crisis, to me, just necessarily, I think it's just not being accepting of change. You know what I mean? Like, I used to do this, I can do that. Like, I still am cool. Like, I'm still, like, young. And then in certain settings, like, I look at myself in certain settings, and I'm, like, looking at different people's faces, and I feel as if my face is older than theirs. Mm. Like, I've matured from this. And I think that a midlife crisis can necessarily happen at any point in time. I think that's when I think we have to understand as people, we might molt. Like, you know how, like, lobsters molt into a new shell. That's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're molting into a new shell. And sometimes people are trying to still fit in that same shell. And like, I'm still here. I can still do this. And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. It's time for you, once again, like you were talking about, growing in different outlets and different lanes, is for you to seek other. Mm-hmm. All right, you've mission accomplished. You've done this. Now it's time for you to either go in this lane, that lane, this lane, that lane. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, because I was telling Nas, like, I felt like through this experience or whatever, I feel like I need to do something to add that change or whatever to help me kind of grow a little bit out of my shell or my, what is it?
Molting? Did I say molting?
Yeah.
Yeah, molting. Yeah, it's molting. It's called molting.
And I was telling him, like, I feel like like, right now, I've gotten on to Bumble. I've gotten into, like, a couple
Grindr
different... Bitch, no. I'm on different apps and shit for, like, to find friends and shit. And, like, to actually find friends. Like, I have friends, like, Nas is my friend, CJ is my friend, but those are... And Malik and shit. But it's, like, those are my friends from school. And then it's, like, I need to be able to grow in other places. Because I've seen this thing in one of those forums, and it was, like, a lot of married men are really friends, or they connect with their, like, wife's family a whole lot. And somebody asks, like, I wonder if that's because they don't have friends and shit. They don't have somebody else to connect to. Mm-hmm. So the socializing and everything is dependent on that family or whatever. And not that I don't like Cheyenne's family, because they are very cool, but I don't want to be in a position where I don't have friends and I am just dependent on, like, my family for friendship and shit.
Yeah,
to an extent.
I don't know. It's tough.
But I was thinking I'd just get out and go get into shit. Like, that's what the Bumble is for. That's what the different forums is for. Because I'm trying to find spaces where I feel comfortable in, or even spaces where I feel like I can grow in. So I was thinking about picking up, like, a dance class. I don't have no fucking rhythm
at all.
I don't have that. Almost like outwardly enthusiasm, where it's like, it's hard for me to put on a character or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I feel like maybe getting out of that, getting into a different space and trying that.
You know what's so strange? Because I was like, damn, maybe I should do some acting classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is like, I am like this. Don't get me wrong. This is a little me amplified a little bit, just a tiny bit. But it's like, you see me out in public, like, really on some just regular shit, I'm very chill. I'm trying to, I don't know if it's the social anxiety sometimes, but like, damn, I might have to put on a performance, or I might have to be pod me for a minute. You know what I mean? And not saying that I'm not myself, but it's just like, I go the extra mile to entertain somebody. And honestly, I could give less than a fuck sometimes. I know that's like a pivot from what you're saying necessarily, but it's just like, I don't care to entertain. Whether you like me, if you don't, you don't. If you do, you do. You know what I mean? Whatever. You are so many different versions in so many people's heads. Mm-hmm. So this one time that we probably have a bad experience, okay, so what? Fuck it. I'm not going to entertain. That's when I feel like I got to put on a clown face. When I feel like I'm got to go in, not work mode, because it's not considered work, but hobby mode.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, nah, I can't.
I think my thing is struggle, like, we was talking, and I have like a 2 to 3 hour window for socializing.
Yeah.
And it's only in certain environments. So with certain, not certain people, but just if I'm in an environment where I feel comfortable, I can socialize the whole day, or I can be active the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I need to be in that environment or whatever. And I guess I also want to work on kind of not forcing it, but forcing it out. Like maybe I need to work on how to socialize in those environments.
Yeah.
Like where it is that I fit into in those environments, instead of it being like, let me remove myself from that.
And you know, it's kind of weird. It's just for me, necessarily. It's weird not being quote unquote the man in certain settings.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of deals like with me a little bit, because it's like, oh, nobody knows me here. And I'm kind of like, I feel weird because it's like I don't have nobody to gravitate to or to talk to right now.
Yeah.
And I have to go out my way either to talk to somebody or to make some friends or some shit like that.
Because I'd rather for there to at least be one person I know that I can be like, oh, I know you. Let me come over here and at least socialize. And then maybe I can hop off from you to somebody else. And then however. But when you have to be outgoing when you that person. But sometimes that is healthy for you. It's healthy to be that person in a setting, and you have to make yourself known. Like, I just did orientation, and I had to put that shit on low-key and just be like, these people don't fucking know me.
Yeah.
I don't know these people. And sometimes I got to tell myself, too, like, nigga, you're 27. Like, you're grown now, and, like, you're not that kid who has to, like, monitor everything you do. Whoever you are now, it's like whoever you are, and, like, you ain't got to, I don't know.
I think that's where it starts to get, like, you're like furry at, you know what I mean? Because I think we're at that threshold of getting to them 30s, and to tie it to like, we don't have any fairies, and we're become the fairies starting to look like regular fish to us. And using that is like, all right, things are not as limitless as we think, you know what I mean? And we try to think, oh, well, I can wish I can be here, I can be there, and we are trying to just find that person. To say, oh, these are magical, whatever. This can happen. This is positive. I think the older we get, the more negative we become on things or limiting on things that we do.
At the same time, too, though, like even with the fairy godparents, seeing them become like turn from like
from
whatever
fish,
they are
yeah,
to fish.
Yeah,
I feel like sometimes that's okay. That's a tool, because then it lets you know shit is real, and I gotta actually. It's on me. I can't wait for like an opportunity to fall in my lap. I actually got to get the work done, and I got to do the groundwork for certain shit.
Absolutely.
So like even with my situation, I'm like, all right, nigga, it's time to buckle down and get serious about your life and the next steps and everything. And that's because I'm realizing, okay, the fish are fucking fish. You know?
Exactly. And I was, I think I might take this take from somebody. I don't know who I wish I could give the person the credit, but, they was basically saying, it's everybody's first time here.
Yeah.
And I was breaking this shit down to one of our friends, and they was like saying something about their parent. And I was just like, yo, this is your parents' first time parenting a adult.
Yeah.
And now you have your brain of your own. You are your own person. And the person that held you has to respect you in a certain light now, has to treat you a certain way. And that might be difficult for them because this is their first time ever dealing with something like this. And I had the same, you know, conversation with my mom and her mom, you know what I mean? Like, she's, you know, my grandmom's at an age where she's lost her mother. She's losing friends. That is a scary part because you're getting older, but my older isn't like, you know, I'm getting closer to a certain point in life. So we have to always give grace on the change of that, and that knowing that a lot of these times, these are people's first times with a lot of things. I don't know if that.
Yeah. And I was going to say, even tying that all the way back to midlife crisis, I think part of that feeling like the midlife crisis or the awakening is realizing the amount of time you have.
Yeah.
And so like how you said, your grandmother, she's at an age where this is the normal for them.
Yeah.
People are passing away or whatever. And your mom is in a different place because she's at a different age where right now she's like, shit, I'm trying to retire. I'm getting ready to like chill out. We at that age where it's like, nigga, we trying to develop these careers. We're trying to get shit going. We trying to
traditions.
Like stabilize. Yeah. And so, like, for us, or at least for me in the moment, realizing that and being like, oh, so these are the next few years that shit really got to happen. Mm-hmm. That shit is just, like,
scary. Yeah, and I think that, you know, ladies, despite going out of trips to Jamaica, to Punta Cana, whatever, wherever you go, mm-hmm. stop taking pictures of people's drawers. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't... If you don't fuck with her no more, then leave it at wherever she was at. Leave her on a trip.
There's no reason. The moment you go into somebody's room to take pictures of their drawers, you were never a friend. you were never a friend. And there's just no reason to be doing that, especially on a trip. Anything happen, anything go on, it'd be hot as fuck in them countries. Leave people alone.
Yeah, right. Because I'd be mad as fuck if I just had just a rough day. It was just a rough, muddy day up in them drawers. And somebody take a picture and be like, that's why I ain't fuck with these dirty as fuck. Mm-hmm. This and this and that. I shit it a little bit. I farted and I sharted.
Motherfucker, like, I was on the tractor, the little AV thing. It
rolled up the dirt, rolled up shit. You know? But it's about that time where we leave you with a positive message to get through the week. Vince, what is your positive message to get through the week?
Spread love, man. Spread love. Like, no, on a serious note, though, it don't hurt to be kind to other people. It don't hurt to be kind to yourself. So, like, just spread love and take care of yourself. Check in with yourself and ask yourself, what is it that you need? What is it that, like, can help you and stuff?
Yeah. My positive message is to get through the week. And sometimes we ruin our fun. And it's usually from people that we don't like or whatever the case is. And I think that necessarily just try to... I'm trying to tie it in for a group thing. Like, say if you just don't like a particular person in a group, but, you know, you like the group and stuff. Just don't ruin your fun off of pre-notions, you know? And I think that's what I wanted to say. Like, don't ruin your fun off of pre-notions and assumptions, you know? And be positive. Have a positive outlook on a lot of things. And just open up your mind to a lot of things when you are pursuing something. Don't look at the negative, because it's always easier to lean on something and tell somebody, oh, this is because this didn't work. I knew it wasn't going to work. Don't guess. Don't put no thesis, no nothing on it. Just do it, you know.
Nike, bitch.
Yep, literally. And once again, just to end off things, if y'all want to support Sharice, we will be sporting our free reshirts. If you want to, you know, support, you see us in it, be like, oh, I want a free reshirt. You know, this is just something, you know, we trying to just build so she can have.
Stabilizer, rehabilitizer, and all that.
Exactly. So when she gets on here, and she's probably going to be a little schizophrenic or something like that, because she's going to be like, oh, I don't know what these guys are talking about. They're making lies about me.
She tries to, like, hide it.
Yeah.
But it's like, Sharice, come forward with it.
Yeah.
You're on America's Most Wanted.
Like, and we see you every day.
Every day.
Yeah, it's sick. It's sickening at this point. So with that being said, I'm Nas.
I'm Vince.
Thank you for being awkward with us. See you next week.